Okay, Parshas Bechukaisa.
That's it.
Chazak. Shas Mubarakim. Busy Shabbos this week.
Big time.
Okay, so I'll start off with a story that everybody knows. We'll say it over the Bekitza. In Bechukaisa Teileichu, so it's well known that our Chaim HaKadosh has 42 Pshatim in Bechukaisa Teileichu. Take a Chumash, because let's look at the Arachayim HaKadosh. There are 42 Pshatim in Bechukaisai. In Bechukaisai Teileichu. There's a story behind it. Before you come to the story, let's at least learn one or two Pshatim of the In Bechukaisai Teileichu. Number 21, Chaf Aleph, they're numbered.
Oh, okay.
At least in Chumash Maisor, they're numbered. Number Chaf Aleph says the Arachayim HaKadosh In Bechukaisai Teileichu. He says that a person only can go up to Shemayim after 120 years. After 120 years, when a person's time is up in this world, he goes to Shemayim. However, tzaddikim, it's known, can even when they're alive, they could pick themselves up and they could go up into the Lamas Al Yainim. They could go up into the upper worlds. In Bechukaisai, if you follow my chukim, if you learn the Torah, teilechu, you're able to go higher and higher. You're able to rise higher and higher. Abo Bale Taira, his Russian is, but Bale Taira, Yechayim Mulechas, Lomokom He'olyoin, Kishem Chafetzim. They're able to travel up to the Mokom He'olyoin when they want. Beschusta, Melus, Betaira, Schusta, learning Taira, Teilechu, they can go up and up, they can go into the higher worlds even while they're alive. That's Pshat Chafalov. Pshat Memalov, number 41, Darachayim Chorish brings down, in the Chukaisai Teilechu. Chazal tell us, if the Yetzihara comes to a person, how do you overcome the Yetzihara? Say Shema, attempt to go to the Beis Medrash, and if all else fails, what's the last Yetzihara? You remind them of Yom HaMisa. You mentioned Yom HaMisa. You tell the Yetzihara, one day, having within the Cheshbon, is Yom HaMisa, why should I give him to the Yetzihara? Says Arachayim HaKadosh, Im B'chukaisai Teileichu. B'chukaisai is the Lashon of a Chayk. Misa is a Gezeirah from Hashem. Nobody escapes. It's a gezeirah from Hashem. Anybody who comes into this world, if you follow the way Hashem set up the world, there's misa, it's a chayk. Teileichu, if you follow your whole life with that chayk, and whenever the Yetzirah approaches you, your mind of the Yom HaMisa, if that chayk that happens, then you'll be zeichet to with mitzvaysai tishmeru v'asisa maisa. You'll be zeichet to the end of the pasuk, you'll be mekayim my mitzvahs, And you'll do them because this way you'll be able to fight off and conquer the Yetzirah. The story everybody knows, but never heard to say it over. The Chidah writes the story four times in the Sfarim. The story is brought down four times in the Sfarim. And the Chidah writes, it's Yisoid Gadol ba'avodas Hashem. This story is the big Yisoid in avodas Hashem. Everyone knows the story. The Chaim HaKadosh had a minig that he used to buy a behemah and shech the behemah every Erev Shabbos. And he would divide the meat up among the aniyim tamidei chacham, the poor tamidei chacham in the city, who would give out meat. And he used to come and line up for their portions. Vayei yoyim, it came one week, there was a gezeira, and all the animals that were shechted were found to be treifus. There was no kosher meat in the entire city. There was no kosher meat in the whole city. And even the big gevirim, the ashirim, who could afford to buy animals, couldn't find any kosher meat. This gevir heard that there was one kosher animal in the whole city. The animal that was shechted by the Arachayim HaKadosh, the Aniyim, was kosher. The one kosher animal in the city. The Arachayim HaKadosh has the animal, and he's dividing it up to give out to the Aniyim, to Midei Chachamim. The Gevir comes running up to him, Erev, and says, listen, there's no meat in the city. How much do you want? Whatever you want, I'll pay you. Sell me a portion of meat. I have to have meat for Shabbos. I haven't let a Shabbos go by without meat. I need the meat for Shabbos. Chaim HaKadosh says, I'm sorry, this is Mukta Shel Aniyim, it's for the Aniyim to Midei Chachamim, and I can't give it to you. The Gevir says, do you know who I am? Name your price. And as he's waiting, one of the Aniyim shows up. The Chaim HaKadosh says, Mechabed the Ani, gives him this nice piece of meat. The Gevir can't hold himself back, and he says, him? That's who you're giving the meat to? You're calling him a Talmud Chacham? Who is he? How does he come before me? The Vaza, the Oni, the Talmud Chacham. The kids are Chaim HaKadosh, gives the Oni the meat, and the Oshir walks away empty-handed, no meat. The Chaim HaKadosh has a dream that night. the dream, they tell him that since he heard the Oshib in Mevazer is Talmud Chacham, and he didn't protest, he didn't enter back, he has to go into Golas for a year. He has to go into Golas for a year. And as soon as Shabbos is over, he has to pack his bags, he shouldn't take anything with him, only what he needs for one day, and he goes into Golas, and he can't sleep more than one night in the same place, he has to be on the move. At the end of the year, they'll let him know in Hashemayim when his Golas is over. Matzah Shams or Chaim HaKadosh sets off on his journey into Golas. And he travels from one day to another day, one place to another place. It's difficult. He has to beg for food, a place to stay. It's not a pleasant life. Short while later, comes an Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Pashas B'chukaisai. And needs a place to stay for Shabbos. B'kitzah, what did the Niyam do in those days? They used to go to shul, and the Gabbai at the end would, you go with him, you go home with him, you go home with him. He'd point where the Oni should go for Shabbos. Chaim HaKadosh is waiting in the back of the shul. The Gabbai says to somebody, he's yours for Shabbos, take him home. The Chaim HaKadosh, of course, one of the conditions of the Golos was that he could not be Megabba, could not reveal who he was. Incognito. He had to remain quiet as he was. So, he gives the impression of being an Islam and Amoris and, ignoramus and doesn't know too much. He eats the Suda Shabbos, fine. After the Suda, the Baal Bas says to him, the minig here is that the Rav of the town speaks after the Suda, and we all go back to hear the Rosh on the Parsha. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. If not, here's your badge, you go to sleep. Chaim says, fine, I'll go with you. They go back to the shul, and the Oigam is there, and the Rav starts speaking. And the Rav says that they will magala to him in Hashemayim 42 pshatim in B'chukaisai Teleichu from the Arachayim HaKadosh.
Uh-oh.
And Arachayim HaKadosh had been mechadesh, these pshatim, I believe it was on the Erev Shabbos. He had sat down, and I think the way the story went, he had no pen and paper to write it down. He wrote it down on a piece of wood, on a trunk of a tree. He wrote down these 42 pshatim. And the Rav said that in a dream, the Omegalo to him, these 42 Pshatim, the Archaim HaKadosh had written down, and he was supposed to be mefarsing them to the world. And he says, I'll tell you the first 14, 42 Pshatim, 14, 14, and I'll tell you 14 of them right now. And he starts to quote Archaim HaKadosh. As soon as the real Archaim hears the rabbi say, the Archaim HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Ben Atar was his name, Reb Chaim Ben Atar, the Archaim HaKadosh jumps out of his seat and says, Chaim ben Atar, what Rav Rabbi? Chaim ben Atar. Takes away the title of Rav Rabbi. The Rav looks at him, the Gabbai looks at him, the Balabas looks at him, and they're like, who is this disrespect? Who is he? How can he show such disrespect to our Chaim HaKadosh? The kids, they tell a message, you're disrespectful, behave yourself. Okay. The Leil Shabbos continues without any further incident. Shabbos by day, after the Suda, Baal Bos says to him, the meaning is we go back to Shul, and we hear the Rosh of the Rav on the Parasha. But he warns him, this time you better behave yourself. Don't be Mevazah the Archaim HaKadosh. They come to Shul, and the Rav says that the Magala, another 14 Pshat to him, sits over the next, B'Shem, Reb Chaim Ben Atar, he jumps out, ooh, Reb Chaim, no, Reb Chaim. The kids, the Gabbai is ready to lynch him, the Rav is, they look at him, the Rav tells the Gabbai, warn him. Tell him this is his last warning. He does it again, we're gonna have to make him a cha in honor of the covenant of the Arachayim HaKadosh. They warn him, he's quiet. The Rav says the 14th Pshatim. Come Shavu Shiddur's time. The Rav starts to speak. The last 14th Pshatim, the 42. And he says, B'shem, the Arachayim HaKadosh, Chayim Ben Atar. And again, he makes chosik. The Rav tells the Gabbai, take him and lock him in the room in the back, and after Shabbos, we'll have to decide what to do with him. We'll have to decide what to do with him after Shabbos. They take him, put him in a room in the back of the shul, and they lock him inside. Different versions of the story of what happened afterwards. Either they took him out and had everybody spit at him as they walked by Matzah Shabbos, when they left shul, everybody stood in front of him, and they spit at him as a bizarion, as an einish, for his being mevazeh tamid b'arachayim, or they left him locked up. Either way, after everybody leaves shul, they left him locked up, they put him back, they left him locked in a shul for further punishment. And he was left in shul. The kids, everybody goes home, and suddenly the winds start to blow, and the winds are howling, and it's strong winds, and the winds are getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and it looks like the winds are going to rip out the tree and the houses, and nobody knows what happens. Those that could come running to the Rav, what happened? What could we do? And the Rav says, I don't know, strange. All of a sudden the winds are starting to blow. As soon as Shabbos is over, and the Rav starts thinking to himself, and he says, one minute, he says, the winds are blowing. He says, it's because somebody didn't make Havdalah. Somebody didn't make Havdalah. Somebody didn't make Havdalah, so Gehenim can't open up, can't go into business, can't open for business until Havdalah is made down here. And the Sar Shel Gehenim is bringing the winds and so on, because he's trying to ignite the fires of Gehenim, and he can't, because Havdalah wasn't made. And then the Rav is thinking and thinking, and a funnel hits him. That man that we have locked up in shul is none other than Aruch Chaim Kadosh himself. He runs back to the shul, and he says to him, we'll talk afterwards, quickly, make Havdalah. Here's Yayim, summon, make Havdalah. As soon as Aruch Chaim Kadosh makes Havdalah, the wind dies down, the wind stops, everything returns to normal. And the Rav says to him, I'm the Rav, and I'm a Geizer, and you are the Rav of this town, to the Megala, who you are, tell me who you are. Okay, the truth comes down. So Aruch Chaim Kadosh, he tells him the whole story. That night, Aruch Chaim Kadosh has a dream. The dream, they tell him that he was Yaitza, his Golos, he fulfilled his obligation of Golos, and he could return back, he could go back home. That was the story of the Aruch Chaim Kadosh. But the lesson is powerful. Here, Bizoyin, definitely not to be Mavaza Talmud Chacham. Even if you hear it, a person has to protest. Another story, Chavetz Chaim, son-in-law, Reb Nachum Mendel Zaks, and he had a son, Chavetz Chaim had a son, Reb Leib. And one day, the Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law said to Reb Leib, the Chavetz Chaim's son, he has an earache, his ear hurts. So Chavetz Chaim's son got all excited, says, your ear hurts? You have to run to the specialist right away. You must run to the doctor right now, you can't wait. You have to run to the doctor right away. And Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law said, okay, it's not such an emergency, what's the big rush? And Reb Leib insisted that you have to run to the doctor right away. The specialist is in town. Here, you must go now. You can't wait. Okay? He pushes him, he goes to the specialist. The specialist examines him. Everything's fine. We'll pass. Don't worry about it. There's nothing wrong. Everything is fine. He comes back. Reb Leib is waiting. No! What did the doctor say? The doctor said everything is fine. But he's a Baruch Hashem. So Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law asked Reb Leib, what were you so worried about? You pushed me out the door. You sent me to the doctor right away. You didn't wait. Why were you so worried? He says to him, don't you remember yesterday we were standing in yeshiva and there were some people that walked by and they started to make fun of one of the Rosh Yeshiva. And you were standing right there. You heard them and you didn't say a word. And you didn't make a macha. You didn't protest when you heard them making fun. Baran Bab Metzio tells over the story of Elizabeth of Shimon that after he died, a worm, 22 years later, a worm came out of his ear because he had once heard a Talmud Chacham being embarrassed and he did not protest. So Reb Leib said to him, you heard yesterday a Talmud Chacham being embarrassed and you didn't protest and now the next day your ear hurts. I was worried that who knows what happened? Who knows what it could be? So I sent you right away to the doctor, Baruch Hashem, you found it's nothing, and you have a chance to do tshuva. But Bizoy Talmidei Chachamim is very chomer d'genyan. Definitely not to say. And if one hears, one should make a bracha. The Pasuk says, later on, in Pasuk, V'achaltem, in Pasuk Hei, Perik Chavot Pasuk Hei, V'achaltem lach mechem l'saiva. You should eat your bread and be satisfied. So Rashi tells us, Eichel kima, he eats a little bit, whom is barich mev, and it's blessed in his stomach. The person will eat a little and he has a bracha. And B'chaim V'lozhinah says a very sharp bracha. What's the lashon in lach mechem, your bread? V'achatam lachem, eat bread l'sleiva. It has to be your bread. Dafka, your bread l'sleiva? What's your bread? And he says, the Torah is teaching us that there'll be a bracha in the bread. But when can you rely on the bracha? When you're eating yourself for your own food. When the ani comes knocking on the door, and the ani asks you for bread, you can't give him just a little bit, and tell him, oh, there's a bracha in the food, we'll give you a little bit, and you'll be satisfied for meaning a little bit. When it comes to the ani, you have to give him a full amount, as if there was no bracha. lach mechem. When it comes to your eating, it comes to your bread, then you could rely on the bracha that you'll eat a little bit and you'll be blessed. But when it comes to helping out somebody else, you can't rely on the bracha. You have to give him as if it was a regular year and give him a full amount. It can't be lach mechem. When it comes to the ani, you have to make sure to give him a full, to give him a full amount. Many times when it comes to helping out an ani, helping out somebody else, the Gedolim went out of the way that the one who's giving should feel for the ani. Because if the one who's giving doesn't feel for the ani, he won't give properly. Famous story, Rebbe Chaim Mizels was the Rav in a lodge in Poland. A lot of stories are said over. One famous story said over is that an ani comes one night to his door and says, it's freezing outside, there's no fuel, I have no firewood in the house. Can you please help me? I should have some firewood to warm up the house. And Rebbe Chaim says, I'll try to bring firewood for you. And he goes to a gevir's house and he stands outside by the door and he knocks on the door. They see he's there. Come inside, come in. And Rebbe Chaim says, no, I'm standing right here. Tell the gevir, tell the Baal Mos, I want to speak to him right here outside by the door. Tell him to come to me. And the butler says, it's a cold night, come inside. You're welcome to come in. I want him to come here. And the gevir comes to the door. Rebbe Chaim says, listen, there's an awning by my house. And he's firewood. Can you help us sponsor a bundle of firewood for the ani? And the gevir says, that's no problem. But tell me, why couldn't you come in? Why did I have to come to the door? Rebbe Chaim says to him, because had I come inside, you wouldn't have felt the cold. You wouldn't have understood what the ani is feeling. But now that you came to the door and you felt how cold it is, you're able to experience what the ani is feeling. Now you'll give with a full heart. When it comes to helping somebody, the more a person feels, the more he's able to help. The next part we said over, I think, for the past how many years, but v'rodfu mikem chamishim meyo, pasuk perichavov, pasuk ches. The pasuk tells us that v'rodfu mikem chamishim meyo, five of you will chase 100 of the goyim, or meyo mikem revav ar yidayfu, and 100 of you will chase 10,000 of the enemy. Right, and Rashi is v'chikachu achesvin. Rashi is that the cheshvin? The math doesn't work out. If five chase 100, it's 20 times as much. So 100 should chase 2,000, 20 times as much. How does it jump from 100 to 10,000? And Rashi ends off, but it's not the same. When a few people keep the Torah, too many will keep the Torah. If you have only a few people, five, then it can only chase away 100 enemies. When you have 100, the kayach is so much greater, they could chase away even 10,000. And Rabbi Eliezer Gordon tells the Rosh Hashiva, says over, that the cheshbon is meduy, the cheshbon is perfect. And he says, and it applies to us, anybody who learns Barabbin. And he says, when a person learns by himself for an hour, he gets credit for 1 hour of learning. A person learns with a chavrusa for an hour, each one gets credit for learning his hour, plus for the chavrusa learning now, because each one was machazik the other, each one helped the other learn. So when two people learn together, you have a total of 4 hours. Two times two. I have scha for 2 hours, my hour and your hour, and he has scha for his hour and for my hour. When you have 10 people learning together, so each one has scha for himself plus for 9 others. So each one has scha for 10. So you have 10 times 10. You have 100. The more people you have, each one has more scha, because each one has credit not only just for his own learning, but since he's machazik everybody else, he has scha for them as well. That's the case. If you have 100, you have 100 times 100. Each person has scha for 100 people learning. 100 times 100, 10,000. So it increases, the more you have, the more the scha increases. In fact, people sometimes say, I can learn by myself, why do I have to show up out, come to learn. Learn by Rabbim, not only do you have credit for learning by yourself, but you have credit for everybody else who learns as well. Talmud Torah is one of those mitzvahs where you can get many, 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 many mitzvahs. Each word is a mitzvah, and if you multiply it out by everybody who learned, the mitzvahs grow and grow and grow. V'zachati es b'risi Yaakov, v'af es b'risi Yitzchok, v'af es b'risi Avram, ezko v'aretz ezko. Perek Lamedalad, Pasuk Membeis. Towards the end of the Teichacha, the Pasuk says, I remember my bris with Avram, with Yitzchok, and with Yaakov. Dumnu Magid's Moshul, we said this over many times, but it's very appropriate. Dumnu Magid explains, why is this pasuk in the Teichacha? In the middle of the Teichacha, remember the bris of Avram, the bris of Yitzchak, the bris of Yaakov. That's good. Sounds like a nice bracha in the middle. It goes back to the pesukim continue with the teichacha right afterwards. It seems a little bit out of place that pasuk. Duda Magid explains it a very nice motion. There were once two children that went out and they stole. They were gone off him and they were caught and they come before the judge. And one of them, the judge, sentences to a very harsh punishment, sentences him to jail. And the other one, he tells him, okay, pay back what you took and go home. So they ask the judge, it's not fair. They both were caught doing the same crime. How come one you punished very harshly and one you sent off very easily? And the judge says, don't you understand? This child is the son of the Rav. Comes from a house of Tzadikim, of Ravonim. His father was a Rav. His grandfather was a Rav and so on. For him to be a Ganef, he knows better. He knows not to steal. He knows. He had a father to learn from, a grandfather to learn from, a great-grandfather. He did it anyway. He deserves a harsh punishment. The other one comes from a house of Ganovim. The father's a Ganef, the grandfather's a Ganef, the uncle's a Ganef, they're all Ganovim. Can't hold it against him. He didn't know any better. That's how he's brought up. So him, I just punished very lightly. The better a person is, the more responsible he has to be. Says the Magid, v'zachati es prisi Yaakov, v'yaf es prisi Yitzchok, v'akat, it's all part of the taina against us. Remember where you came from. You had who to learn from. You had a Zayd Yaakov, and a Zayd Yitzchok, and a Zayd Avram, all the way back. Remember where you came from. How could you behave the way that you did? So not that it also increases the taina on us. Remember where you came from. So we have to be careful. We all have our yichus. We go back. Every one of us goes back. We have Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Tanoim, Amoroyim. We have great people. How could we behave the way that we do? A person has to look back and see where he came from and learn from his ancestors. Back to the first pasuk. Im b'chukaisai teilechu, and Rashi tells us, ketiyu ameinu b'tayra. You should toil, work hard in Taira. It's not enough just to say the words, you have to be omar ameinu b'tayra. Gemara chagiga, and heyom beis, the Gemara brings down, chayit, ton rabbana, shiroisha kodesh baruch hu, baicha alei rechoyim. Three people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries for them every day. Who are the three? One is al she'efsho la'asik b'tayra, for somebody who could learn Torah, v'einei Isaac, and he doesn't learn Torah. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld had a brother. He had a brother in Chutz Lawrence. His brother was a Pashti Yid. He had a brother, and he wrote a letter to his brother encouraging him to learn. And he wrote in the letter that whatever you learn, try to take on a little bit extra. Learn something more. Learn a little bit more than you're accustomed to learn. His brother wrote back to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, and he said to him, Bishlama, you, my brother, you're a god of Hador. For you, I understand it's kedai to learn Torah. But me, I'm no god, I'm a poshut, I'm a bala boss. What's a nafkamin? I learn a little more, I learn a little less. Why are you pushing me to learn more? I'm not going to become any big god if I learn more. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim brought him back, and he said to him like this, when you open your store in the morning, do you think you become very wealthy? Do you think the opening story will become like Rothschild? He said, today we'd say like Trump, you think you'll be wealthy like him? Be so wealthy? Do you think so? No. But you open the store anyway. Why? Because every little bit counts. Every little bit counts. Whatever profit you can make, whatever money you can earn, every bit counts. One extra customer, one more sale, one less customer, every little bit counts. You do whatever you can. It's the same as when it comes to learning Torah. A person has to try to learn as much as they can. Take in what you can. A person can learn one extra Rashi, one extra Taisvis, one extra Daf of Gemara, whatever it is, take in a little bit extra. Each extra time a person is able to learn is a tremendous profit. Just when it comes to your Gashmias, you try to earn a little bit extra, even though you're not becoming the wealthy, not becoming very rich or very wealthy. So when it comes to your Ruchnias, take in a little bit extra. That extra Taisvis, that extra Rashi, Chapin Arayin, everything adds up. Rabach Ber said, over the Gemara in Sukkah and Afnun Ches. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Shemaynim Talmidim, Hailo Lehu Razachim. Hillel had 80 Talmidim. The Gadol Shebekulon, the greatest was Yonis and Minoziel, and the Katan Shebekulon, the smallest was Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai.
Wow.
And the Gemara says also that Yechir Ben Zakkai Shoiniach Mikra Mishnah Gemara Halachas. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave over Mishnah, Mikra, Gemara, Halachas, and so on. He didn't leave over Dava Gadol, something big, Dava Katan, and something small. And the Gemara says, what's Dava Gadol? Dava Gadol is Maisa Merkava. It refers to the Maisa Merkava in Sefer Yecheskel. And what's Dava Katan? Havayo is the Abaye and Rava. The question is of Abaye and Rava. That's the Dava Katan. That's something small. So Baruch Ber, Yisus Talmidim, he said, can anyone explain to me how could you call Havayos of Abai Verova Dova Kotan? How could you call the questions of Abai Verova something small? Do you know how hard you have to work on a sugya on a Gemara to understand what Abai says, what Rava says? How could the Gemara call it such a small thing, a Dova Kotan? And he said, I'll tell you, I'll answer you with a mashal. He said, imagine a person is one day he's walking by the water and he sees a person swimming in the water. Suddenly the person starts screaming, help, help, he's drowning, help, help. And nobody else is around. This person standing on the shore, sees nobody's there to help. What, he jumps right into the water. And with all his kaiches that he has, he's able to swim. And somebody manages to pull the person in and he saves his life. The next day, the same person is walking in the street. Somebody comes over to him and he says to him, please do me a favor. I just came to town. Nobody here really knows me, and I have a check that I have to cash. I need the money, I have a check that I have to cash. And nobody wants to cash a check for me because they don't know who I am. Can you please do me a favor and cash the check for me? And he looks at him, and he says, please, please, I'm desperate. And he says, okay, I'll cash the check for you. He takes the check, and he gives him the money. So Baruch Be'ez Talmidim, which story do you think was greater? The story where he saved somebody's life, or the story where he went ahead and he cashed the check? Which story do you think is greater? Which is a greater mitzvah than he did? So, of course, everybody said, saving somebody's life. Kamakayim nefesh achas miyisrael, kiwakayim oilam moly. Whoever saves one life, it's like he saved the whole world. And Baruch Be'ez is just the opposite. He says, saving the life, that's what anybody would have done. Did he have a choice? You're standing there, you see a person needs help. Do you have a choice? Is there a brera? Could you have said no? You can't say no. You have to. You have to jump in and save him. Anybody would have done it. Cashing a check, just the opposite. He had every reason in the world to say no. He had every reason in the world not to do it. And even though people did say no, he went ahead and he said yes. It was greater what he did by cashing a check than what he did by saving somebody's life. He says, Avaya Sabaya Verova. How could a person live without learning Torah? A person can't survive without learning Torah. A person's Kein Chayenu Varich Yemenu. That's our life. Our life is learning Torah. Havaya Sabaya was called a Dova Katan because it's posh to everybody. It's obvious to all that one has to learn it. Because without learning Kash Sabaya Virova, one doesn't live in this world. One only lives by learning Torah. So that's called a Dova Katan. Something small because it's so obvious to all that one has to learn it. Kein Chayenu. Okay, I don't know if we all feel like that, but it depends how you look. Depends how you look at Abaye Barah, how you look at the Gemara. But everyone knows that besides the Ruchnius, there's also a certain Gishmak that you have. After you finish learning, you feel a certain Gishmak, even in the physical sense. You feel good. There's a certain accomplishment that you feel from the learning. I think they say Rishim Chazoinish, if a Goy would understand the pleasure that a Yid has by learning a Brat Gemara of Shabbos morning before Shacharis, a guy would be Megayer in order to be able to feel that Hano. A guy would be Megayer. A certain Hano that a Yid has from learning, that he has from Avodas Hashem. And we should feel the Hano, we should understand what learning is, how important Torah is, and Avodas Hashem, in a little more than a week, is a Shavuos, to Kabbalah Satayr. Amen.